This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to break the ice with someone who seems closed off or uninterested. A practical method for reaching people who have already decided not to engage. In short, breaking the ice with a closed-off person is not about finding the perfect opener. It is about earning the right to be heard. Resistance is not personal. It is a signal about timing, trust, and what that person needs before they feel safe enough to engage. Read the room before you speak. Closed posture and short answers signal that a standard icebreaker will backfire. Start smaller than you think you need to, ask less, and give the other person room to move toward you. Patience and genuine curiosity do more than any scripted line. Definition: break the ice describes the act of making a first conversational move to reduce social tension between people who do not yet know each other, or who have not yet connected in a given setting. A good icebreaker lowers the emotional barrier to real interaction. You have probably been in this situation. You are at a team event, a new client meeting, or a cross-department workshop. Someone stands apart, arms folded, offering one-word answers. You try a friendly opener. Nothing. You try again. Still nothing. The silence starts to feel like a verdict, and you walk away wondering what you did wrong. Here is the truth of it. You probably did not do anything wrong. You just used the wrong tool. Knowing how to break the ice with a resistant person is one of the most useful interpersonal skills you can build, and most people never do, because they assume the fault is theirs or because they simply give up. This article gives you a working process, step by step, for reaching people who seem closed off or uninterested. Not theory, not charm tips. A real method you can use the next time you are standing across from someone who clearly does not want to talk. Why closed-off people resist the usual icebreakers? Most icebreaker approaches are designed for willing participants. They assume a degree of openness that some people simply do not bring into the room. When you apply a standard opener to someone who has already withdrawn, you do not get warmth back. You get shorter answers, averted eyes, and a stronger closed posture than before. There is a reason for this. Resistance is often protective. The person across from you may be guarded because they have been burned before, because group settings make them anxious, or because they have no idea why they are in this room with you at all. They are not hostile, they are cautious. That distinction matters enormously, because hostile and cautious require entirely different responses. The other thing that makes this hard is that most people take the resistance personally. I have done it myself. You read the short answer as rejection. You feel the sting of it, and you either push harder or retreat entirely. Both of those moves confirm the other person's caution. The skill is staying calm and curious when every social instinct tells you to give up. For larger scale situations, like building connection across a whole team that has gone cold, the article on how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy covers the broader group dynamics well. But the individual moment, standing in front of one closed-off person, is its own challenge, and that is what we are solving here. What you need to have in place before you start. Before any step in this process, you need 3 things. Without them, the steps will not hold. You need to drop the agenda. If you need this person to warm up to you within 5 minutes because the meeting starts soon, you are already working against yourself. Pressure transmits. The other person will feel it before you open your mouth, and it will make them more guarded, not less. You need genuine curiosity, not performed interest, not a strategy designed to look interested. Real curiosity about who this person is and why they might be the way they are right now. People who are closed off have a remarkable ability to sense when someone is going through the motions. Authentic interest is not a tactic. It is a precondition. You need patience with silence. Silence is not failure. In fact, one of the most common mistakes is filling every pause with more words, which reads as anxiety and pushes a resistant person further away. Comfort with a pause is a skill worth practicing before you ever try any of the steps below. A step-by-step process for breaking through resistance. Step 1. Read the signals before you speak. Spend 60 seconds observing before you say anything. Look at posture, arms crossed, shoulders turned slightly away, eyes scanning for an exit. Look at what they are doing with their hands, and whether they are making any eye contact with others in the room. These signals tell you how much resistance you're actually dealing with, and how small your first move needs to be. A person who is fully closed off needs a different opening than someone who is merely quiet. Confusing the two is a common error. One needs a gentle, almost incidental comment. The other might respond to a light direct question. Read first, then choose. Step 2. Find the shared context. Every situation gives you something in common with that other person. You are in the same room, waiting for the same meeting, drinking the same bad coffee, or enduring the same broken air conditioning. That shared context is your entry point. It requires no personal information from either of you. It carries no social risk, and it does not demand a real answer. A comment about the context is not small talk for its own sake. It is a signal that you are present, observant, and not a threat. Something like, "This room is always freezing in the morning." You are not asking anything of them. You are simply placing a low-stakes observation in the space between you. Step 3. Make your first move small and completable. Your first actual icebreaker should require almost nothing from the other person. Not their opinion, not their story, not their name. Something they can answer with a single word or a nod, or even just a slight change in expression. This is the step most people skip. They walk up with an open-ended question or a group activity prompt, and the closed-off person shuts down further because the demand feels too large. Think of it like opening a stuck door. You do not throw your full weight against it. You find the edge that gives, and you press lightly there first. A workable script. I noticed you've been to this kind of session before. Is that right? It is a yes or no question. It implies you paid attention to them. It asks almost nothing. That is exactly right for a first move. Step 4. Receive whatever you get and build from it. If your first move gets a word or two back, that is a green light. The instinct is to jump forward with more questions. Resist that. Instead, acknowledge what they said and let it sit for a moment. Reciprocity is the engine of conversation. You gave something small. They gave something small back. The next move is to match that energy, not exceed it. If they said yes a few times, you might say, "Same. I find these mornings a bit much before the coffee kicks in." You are mirroring the tone, keeping it light, and giving them another easy moment to respond to or ignore. Either way, you have not pressured them. Step 5. Ask one genuine question and wait. Once you've had even one exchange, you've earned the right to ask a real question. Keep it specific and grounded in what you already know from observation. Avoid open questions that start with "tell me about yourself" or "what do you think of all this." Those are too wide for a person who is not yet open. A specific, contextual question works far better. How long have you been on this team? Or did you come in from another office for this? These questions are easy to answer. They show you were paying attention. And they open a small door the other person can walk through at their own pace. Then wait. Do not fill the pores. Give them the space to answer. This is where patience becomes a practical tool, not just a virtue. Step 6. Match their pace, not your preference. If the other person gives a fuller answer, you can respond in kind. If they're still brief, stay brief. The mistake here is accelerating the conversation past the point where they are comfortable, because you feel the warmth starting and want more of it. This is about pacing. A conversation that builds slowly and stays on the other person's terms will go further than one you push at your own speed. Think of it like walking alongside someone who is moving cautiously. You do not run ahead and wave them on. You walk with them. For virtual or hybrid settings, this pacing becomes even more deliberate. The cues are harder to read on a screen. The article on how to maintain connection in remote work environments addresses how distance changes the way these signals work, and it is worth reading alongside this process. Step 7. Know when to step back. Sometimes a person is not closed off because of the situation. They are simply someone who does not want to engage today with anyone, and that is their right. After two calm, well-paced attempts with no response, the most respectful move is to ease off without making it awkward. A clean exit sounds like, "I'll let you get settled. Good to meet you." No edge to it, no suggestion that they failed some test. You leave the door open, and you give them the dignity of having controlled the encounter. In my experience, this is where some of the most interesting follow-up conversations start, 10 minutes later, when you are not trying anymore. When the setting is virtual or hybrid, breaking the ice through a screen adds a real layer of difficulty. You lose the shared physical context that makes step too easy. You cannot read body language with any accuracy, and the formality of a video call can make the kind of small, casual comment that works in person feel forced or out of place. The principle stays the same, but the tools shift. In a virtual setting, Your shared context is the experience of being online together, a comment about the connection quality, a genuine reaction to something said in the meeting, or a direct message before the session starts. Looking forward to today's session. Hope the tech cooperates is low stakes, human, and easy to respond to for structured virtual sessions where you need to get a whole group moving. The approaches in effective icebreakers for team meetings and how to host engaging virtual meetings give you formats that reduce the pressure on any one individual to perform. Reducing individual pressure is the same principle we have been working with all along. It just looks different on a screen. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when trying to reach closed-off people. These are the errors I see most often. I have made several of them myself. The mistake: hitting a wall and immediately trying harder, with more energy, more questions, more volume. Why it happens: discomfort with silence makes us feel it, and we confuse effort with effectiveness. What to do instead? Slow down. A second gentle comment is more effective than a bigger, louder first one. Match the other person's energy rather than pulling against it. The mistake: asking questions that are too personal too soon. Why it happens: we want connection, and deep questions feel like a shortcut. What to do instead? Earn your way to personal questions through the small ones first. The sequence matters. Shared context, easy questions, then something more personal, in that order. The mistake: treating every closed-off person the same way. Why it happens: we develop a script that worked once and apply it universally. What to do instead? Read the individual in front of you. Shyness, anxiety, distrust, and simple introversion all look similar from the outside, but they respond to different approaches. Observation first, always. The mistake: making the silence about yourself. Why it happens: when someone does not engage, it feels like rejection, and we react emotionally. What to do instead? Remind yourself that the resistance almost certainly has nothing to do with you. Staying curious rather than defensive is a choice you can practice. For moments where resistance in a group has gone past cool and into active friction, the article on how to de-escalate arguments during meetings covers what to do when a difficult person is not just quiet, but actively disrupting. And if the room has one or two dominant voices that are crowding out the quieter people you are trying to reach, how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion is a useful companion read. A quick pre-conversation checklist. Run through this before you approach someone who seems closed off. It takes 30 seconds, and it will save you from the most common errors. Number 1. Have I spent at least 60 seconds observing this person before speaking? Number 2. Am I genuinely curious about them, or am I running a script? Number 3. Do I have a low-stakes opening that requires almost nothing from them? Number 4. Am I prepared to be patient with silence and not fill every pause? Number 5. Do I have a clean, respectful exit ready if they simply do not want to engage? Number 6. Have I let go of any pressure around how quickly this needs to work? If you can say yes to all 6, you are in the right shape to begin. If one or two feel uncertain, that is the thing to settle first before you open your mouth. If your role involves leading people through sessions where connection matters, the article on finding your authentic leadership voice is worth reading for how the same principles of genuine presence apply at a larger scale. The honest truth about breaking through resistance. Not every closed-off person will open up to you. That is the part nobody says out loud, and I'm saying it now because it matters. Sometimes the timing is wrong, sometimes the history is long, and sometimes a person simply needs to protect their space. That is not a failure of your technique. It is a feature of working with real human beings. What you can control is showing up with patience, genuine curiosity, and respect for where the other person is. When you do that consistently, you break the ice far more often than the person who relies on charm and a rehearsed line. The goal is not a perfect conversion rate. The goal is to be the kind of person that closed-off people feel safe enough to try opening up to. That takes practice, and it starts with the next person in front of you. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to break the ice? To break the ice means to make the first conversational move in a situation where social tension or unfamiliarity makes talking feel awkward. It is the moment you shift from silence or distance into real human contact. A good icebreaker lowers that initial resistance. How do you break the ice with someone who is quiet or withdrawn? Start with an observation about something you both share in the current moment, the room, the situation, a task. Keep it low pressure and expect little back at first. Quiet people often need to see that you are safe before they open up, so patience matters as much as the words you choose. Why do most icebreakers fail with closed-off people? Most icebreakers fail because they demand too much too soon. A direct question or forced activity puts a resistant person on the spot, which deepens their withdrawal. Effective icebreakers with closed-off people start smaller, ask less, and give the other person room to engage on their own terms. What is a good icebreaker question for someone who seems uninterested? The best icebreaker question for an uninterested person is one that requires almost no effort to answer and carries no social risk. Something grounded in your shared context works well. The goal is not a deep answer. It is a small, easy response that opens the door slightly and signals you are safe to talk to. How long should you wait before trying to break the ice again? If your first attempt gets no response, wait at least a few minutes before trying again. Repeating too quickly reads as pressure, which closes people further. One more calm, low-stakes comment is usually enough. After two attempts with no response, silence is often the most respectful choice you can make. Can you break the ice with someone in a remote or virtual setting? Yes, though it requires more deliberate effort. In virtual settings, shared physical context is gone, so you need to create it through specific, genuine comment about what you both experience online. Naming something real and current signals presence and invites a real response without putting the other person on the spot. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.